This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What the hell? James Dolan strikes again.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
You just asked me if I believe that if he's the right guy. Yes.
It's clear that Brunson thought the idea of Thibodeau not being back with the Knicks was absurd.
The Rich Eisen Show.
So congrats, Knicks fans. Back to a little bit of square
one. Earlier on the show, WWE superstar The Miz. Coming up, actor Joshua Jackson. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, look at us. We're in hour three. We have achieved a lot today.
We're here, baby.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. Joshua Jackson in Karate Kid Legends in theaters near you right now. Alongside Jackie Chan and Ralph Macchio. He's going to be in studio in 20 minutes' time. We've got lots to talk about with him, lots of fun in store shortly with him. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We will get to your phone calls in a moment. News out of Indianapolis, Indiana, and I'm not talking about the Pacers making it despite a tornado warning the other day. Safely, thank goodness, into Oklahoma City. Tonight's a big night for Indiana sports, obviously, with the Pacers playing game one of the NBA Finals this evening in Oklahoma City. We'll talk about it on tomorrow's show in the third hour with an individual named Shaquille O'Neal. He'll be on the program.
Check these on.
That's right. So we'll talk with Shaquille O'Neal in hour three tomorrow. Make a note right now to be sure to be there. The news out of Indianapolis involves football. We all know many camps are either taking place now or around the corner. They are important moments because they are the a mandatory version. They're the ones that the coaches plan on, that they basically tell everyone, hey, listen, we're not happy if you're not here. We're certainly, if you're not here on a yacht somewhere, that makes problems for us. Remember last year, the Jets had their mini camp and Rodgers was in Egypt. Remember that one?
Yep.
So it gives people lots to talk about while we're waiting for football to actually be played. But they are important team building and roster affirming and chemistry crucial snaps. You want your guy out there, certainly if it's a quarterback. And we're going to keep our eye on Monday, June 9th. Because that's the mandatory mini camp for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Is Aaron Rodgers going to show up between now and then? Are we going to get some news that he's signing? Is he going to be there? So I'm just setting the table by saying it's kind of important that your quarterback is there. And certainly also important if your quarterback is not there because he's not healthy. All the talk coming out of Houston right now. Uh-huh. Right, where C.J. Stroud is not throwing a football. He's got a pec problem. The head coach there, D'Amico Ryans, is saying, it's no big deal. It's June. Don't worry about it. We're 0% concerned. He will be fine. And that makes sense because it is June right now, early parts of June, June 5th to be exact. And, for instance, for the Indianapolis Colts, their first game is September 7th. So 3 months, 2 days away as the news prior to the Dolphins showing up in Indianapolis that Anthony Richardson is not going to take part in minicamp next week because, as the head coach, Shane Steichen, said today, he's dealing with a shoulder injury. It's an aggravation of the same AC joint that he has hurt before and that has kept him out. Said he doesn't want any timetable on training camp for him. They're saying they don't know if shoulder surgery is necessary. They don't think it is at this point. Oh, boy. And this is the problem with Anthony Richardson since jump is, is he healthy? Can he stay healthy? There's an injury bug. There's this, there's that. We all know last year there was all the parts of his conversation involving his want to. And whether he gets it when he admitted he was tired at one point. Remember all that stuff?
Yeah, took himself out of the game.
Tapped out, yeah.
So, not optimal if your team, Anthony Richardson, right now. And this is why they went ahead and they got Daniel Jones. And laugh all you want, folks. He can play.
Yeah, he can play.
And we are going to see him play. And I'm telling you, he's your week one starter. I told it to you when they acquired him.
Yeah, he did.
And I know that it was a competition and we had the general manager on here. You know, we had a lot of conversations about all this. And no one's saying he's anointed or anything like that. They really want to give Anthony Richardson all the opportunity he can possibly have to turn himself into a franchise quarterback with the ability of anybody, whatever you're hoping for out of the position, strength, speed. He's got all of that. Arm strength. Boy, can he sling it, but not when his shoulder isn't holding up. Good Lord. And I know Colts fans and everyone else is going to have their fun that Daniel Jones is the week one starter. But let's see him protected. Let's see him with a run game. Let's see him with a coach like Steichen. And I know Daboll is a damn good coach. Laugh all you want to there, folks. But he's going to be the week one starter. This is coming down the pike. He's not, I mean, Jones is going to get all the snaps in minicamp. And certainly if Richardson's not ready for training camp, I mean, Jones is just going to have to step all over himself in preseason to squander the leg up that he's getting right now. And while we're on the subject of quarterbacks that may not start week one, I cannot say this any stronger. The Sam Darnold's not going to start for the Seahawks this season conversation that I heard over the last 2 days while I was out of the chair may be the silliest conversation that's out there right now of all quarterbacks.
It's pretty foolish.
Not pretty. You could remove it. This dude is starting. I don't care how many 7-on-7 interceptions he's going to throw.
Well, I'd be concerned if it was like every day.
Guess what?
Multiple.
Guess what? Guess what?
Yeah.
He's starting. The Seattle Seahawks are going to start Sam Darnold if he is healthy in week one. Let me get it just off the top of my head. I should have had this page turned. Against San Francisco 49ers, week one, at home in front of the 12, Sam Darnold is going to be the guy coming out of the tunnel in the smoke, and he's going to start, and he's going to take the first snap of the season for the Seattle Seahawks because it ain't going to be Drew Locke, and it's definitely not going to be Jalen Milroe. With all due respect, the head coach was asked about this because Darnold, what? He had bad practices.
Yeah. He wasn't great.
What's that noise?
I'm just saying he wasn't great. He wasn't great.
So what? It's there's a difference between somebody not being able to go because he has an AC problem in his shoulder, like Anthony Richardson in the shoulder that he's had a problem with, and a guy having a bad practice or two in front of reporters with their camera phones.
We can't be fired up when someone has a great practice and think that means something and then dismiss something that's bad.
Well, I mean, unless it's Shedeur Sanders, then I'll talk him up. Based on all the YouTube comments that I'm seeing.
Yeah, you talk way too much about him.
I do.
According to the YouTube.
That's all I do. Him and Rodgers. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. That's it.
Although I did mention Rodgers' name a few minutes ago. Damn it.
I mean,
maybe I do.
Where is A-Ron right now?
Not in Pittsburgh.
Mike McDonald doused this narrative.
And I guess I almost have to ask, but I hate asking this. Is there anything that could happen other than an injury between now and the beginning of the season that would lead to a different quarterback?
No, you guys are crazy.
There's no way to ask the question without sounding like an idiot.
Like, I respect you got to ask it, but like, you guys, it's just a crazy question. There's just not going to, like, Sam's our starting quarterback. We love him. He's doing a tremendous job. I think it's funny that the media is out there for like the first day and all of a sudden they know exactly how good we're going to be and how good all the players are and all the tempos. Like, we don't even put on pads yet. Like, we haven't made one tackle. And it turns out a practice, like, it's a great way to build culture by letting guys know that, like, they can't make mistakes. That's exactly what we're shooting for. So go out to practice, be tight, you know, make sure you don't make a mistake, because then, you know, God forbid, you know, you're the worst player of all time because you made one bad throw or one bad decision. It's like, that is not what we're trying to build. We want these guys to go prepare the right way, and then when they go out on the practice field, go freaking let it rip, and then we'll go fix it. We'll go. We got time. It's June. It's June 3rd. We'll go. Okay, they're going to get plenty of reps. We'll get those things fixed. I mean, Sam made a lot of great throws yesterday. He's gashing us on third and goal to start the day out too. So, yeah, that was kind of a crazy question.
It's absurd, positively absurd. And I appreciate the question being asked, I guess, but it's not going to happen. Let me ask you, what's more likely?
Well, it's tomorrow.
Let me ask you, what's more likely here? And chime in, please.
Okay.
What's more likely? We saw Sam Darnold turn a professional corner last year, or it was all Fugazi and he's going to revert to his first few years in Seattle, and they made a massive mistake, and there's going to be a big problem, and he's going to be like Matt Flynn, and Jalen Milroe is going to get the start because at least he's going to be the future, and the future's now, and let's get him snaps sooner rather than later. Your thoughts? What's more likely?
There's not a non-zero chance of the second thing happening.
I'm not. That's why it's not zero, non-zero versus more than zero. It's called what's more likely.
Well, it's not fun when the person, like,
what is more likely?
Well, that's a real, like, extreme. You're giving me two extremes.
Hello? Like, I'm on the business end of these things on Friday. Like, you don't give me extremes?
He's not used to being on that side.
No, really? I'm just saying it's not fun when there's pushback and the person doesn't play the game. I mean, yes, more likely you turn the corner, but
right.
But that's not like 90-10. It's more like 60-40.
Okay, I'll go different odds on that, but at least you're
70-30?
TJ?
I think we can't put too much into this right now, right? Like, it's still early.
No, but these practices, he's probably making throws he wouldn't do in week one because the windows are, you know, have more risk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a practice.
What are we talking about? I
mean, exactly.
He's starting. Practice.
No, he's starting. They paid all this money. They told Gino, you can go have a reunion in Vegas with Pete Carroll. They made this maneuver on purpose.
He earned the right with what he did
last
year.
They believe in him, and they're going to let him work out whatever he needs to work out, and he will be their starter in week one.
Yeah.
And that's that. That's that.
Plain and simple.
Does he start all 17 games?
Yes, he will. If he's healthy, he will. Yes, he will. Again, man, will Jalen Milroe maybe run him down at some point? That's possible. I don't know when that would be. But come on, man.
It's his.
It's he's gonna be leading this team. He's taken over the locker room. He's been paid. He's gonna feel it. He's gonna win some games there, man. And I'm excited to see it. But the whole idea that, you know, it's gonna fall apart and, oh my goodness, we have buyer's remorse during the summer, and Drew Locke's got to go. Come on now.
I mean, it's just a one-year deal, essentially.
Okay.
Okay.
It is.
I mean, that's true.
I hear you.
I'm just saying.
You know what
they also hedged their bet. That's kind of what I'm saying. They didn't guarantee him all this big money. They essentially gave him a 1 year prove it.
And I get it. I understand it. They're going to give him that 1 year. It doesn't matter. He has a bad practice in early June. I read this and I'm like, come on, man. Hey, I always shoot the audience straight. For the radio audience, I'm looking straight down the camera right now, which means I'm earnest. I took my glasses off.
I think they can feel that on the radio.
Hold on a minute.
Glasses off.
Glasses on.
And now they're coming off.
Ooh,
I'm looking you direct down.
Drink.
Listen, we are all bored. We're bored. We're bored. When it comes to the NFL right now, we're waiting. God, are we waiting? We're waiting. We're waiting on you, Aaron Rodgers. Will you take us out of our boredom somehow, some way? Please.
Where is Aaron? We're waiting.
Yeah, my God, are we waiting? We're waiting for football to be played. We're waiting for training camp. We're waiting for something to break. We're waiting for some news. That's what we're waiting for.
Here, coach.
So if you're a quarterback who just struck it rich for the first time in your career, you know, and you throw two picks in practice, you
give us no choice.
You're going to get cut.
Yeah. You give us no choice.
What else are we going to do here?
What else are we going to do?
We're going to do. What are we going to do?
We could talk baseball.
We will, and we do. But just when it comes to football, we are just flat out bored.
Yeah, we're making stuff
up. When the hell
is
the season going to start?
Well,
come on.
September
90-something days.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Joshua Jackson is here, everybody. We're going to talk pucks with him.
Let's do it.
And karate. Karate and pucks and poker.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. He was in the great scene in Ocean's 11.
Yes, he was.
That's coming up next right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about Brunt work boots, people. When I got my set of Brunt work boots sent to my house, opened the box, my first thought was, wow, these look amazing. My second thought, once I put them on, I thought, wow, not only are these easy to put on, but they feel incredibly comfortable for a work boot. They deliver the protection also and durability you need on your job site if you wear work boots for a living. And on top of that, Brunt isn't just about work boots. They offer a full range of high-performance gear built for tough jobs, from heavy-duty work pants to weather-resistant jackets. Brunt designs durable, reliable workwear to keep you protected and productive in any condition. They look amazing and, again, feel amazing. Brunt didn't just make a durable work boot. They reinvented comfort for the hardest workers out there. For a limited time, our listeners get $10 off at Brunt by using code RICH at checkout. Just head to bruntworkwear.com. Use my code RICH. You're all set. Even better, Brunt lets you try all their products on the job, risk-free. After you purchase, they'll just ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them our show sent you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Karate Kid Legends is exclusively
in theaters right now, released in theaters last week when this man was supposed to be on the show, but I had jury duty. Kind enough to return so quickly to our schedule, ladies and gentlemen, Joshua Jackson is here.
Thank you for having me.
You're a good man.
Congratulations on being an excellent citizen.
Thank you, sir. Excellent enough to postpone to July, but which is part of the reason why I'm here today, which I'm pleased. Karate Kid Legend in theaters right now. Here you are. Being taught by the young prodigy of the film about karate. He's trying to get your character back on the boxing beam, correct?
Yes.
Okay, you're playing a pizza owner, former boxer, right?
Correct.
Okay, check
it out.
It's
the natural progression of things.
Okay. Yeah. Boxing pizza,
boxing,
now this.
Pizza, yeah.
Joshua Jackson, he's here on the Rich Eisen Show. Our radio audience has just rejoined us. We were just talking about a clip that we just saw from Karate Kid Legends, available now exclusively in theaters with you and Ralph Macchio and Jackie Chan. And I mean, to be part of this,
it's so cool.
Series now, yeah. Right? Like yeah. The Karate Kid is back in theaters.
Not pretty only cool, is Karate man. Kid back in theaters, but you have now, this is the movie that links the lineage of all the movies, right? Yes. And you have this new Karate Kid, Ben, who, God bless him, did the work. I mean, they put him through his paces, mm-hmm. and the fight scenes are amazing. He's incredible in it. And yeah, I mean, I remember where I was when I saw the first movie. And Ben said an interesting thing, like for him, the Jackie Chan movie is the Karate Kid, right? Because he's of that age.
Yes.
And now for my daughter, maybe in a year or two, like he'll be the Karate Kid. I just think that's super cool.
That is pretty cool. And, yeah. And the fact that you're in it as well is pretty neat.
You know, she doesn't really take much interest in what I do. I don't know if I'm going to get cool or if I will just never be cool. How does that work?
Well, I have a daughter. How old is your daughter?
She's five.
She's five. All right. Mine is 11. Just try and be cool.
Right.
Otherwise, you will not be cool.
Be cool. Right.
You, understand? Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
I totally get what you're saying. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, that would be my two cents of advice to you. And again, so I guess it's a very important question. Would you consider the original Karate Kid a sports movie?
Absolutely.
You do?
Yeah.
Because we've had this conversation quite a bit on this program.
And guessing we got some no votes.
Do you agree that The Karate Kid is a sports movie?
It seems like more like a high school teen coming of age.
Right.
The sports are just kind of
I think
background.
It's all those things too. But I guess do you think martial arts are a sport or they're a martial art?
Right. I think it's a sport.
Yeah,
I think
sport.
It's a sport.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a sport.
Like boxing
sport.
Is a sport.
Right.
Right. MMA
it's a
is a sport.
Competition as well. You know what I mean?
Both,
But right. I mean, I guess you got to get into the broader definition. I think it qualifies as a sports movie because at the center, all those other things are true. It's a coming of age story.
Right.
It's about a young man growing up, about learning who you are.
Yes.
But it's all done through the framing of that event at the end.
Correct.
Right? Like, for instance, say something like The Mighty Ducks, also a coming of age story, also about being a little kid. But the whole thing is built around that game at the end.
Yes. Agreed.
I have it on pretty good authority.
We'll get to that in a second. Hawks. You know, because my only thing is that you have to suspend your belief in the original Karate Kid that someone from New Jersey can't fend for himself.
Right.
Right. You know what I mean?
The real controversy of that is that a Jersey kid comes to Southern California and can't hang.
Can't hang.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what's that all about?
That doesn't comport with my understanding of the two regions either.
I mean, you get shoved off his bike. I mean, come on. Like, what's that all about?
Ghost chasing.
Did you have a moment with Ralph Macchio talking to him about the original and stuff like
that?
Oh,
yeah. Or? I mean, when those guys... So we kind of shot the movie in two halves, basically. We shot everybody else, and then Ralph and Jackie came towards the end. But, you know, Ralph's been at this for 40 years.
Yeah, man,
right?
With Cobra Kai as well.
The whole thing. So he, you know, he's like the catalog of information. If you ever need a Miyagi-ism, he's your guy. And then you've got Jackie on the other side, who is still just an insanely detail-oriented stunt master.
No.
It is incredible. So it was his crew that came in and put together all of the crazy fight scenes. And watching him work with these super high level martial artists down to like the quarter inch of where their elbow goes or where their foot placement is it was so cool to be on set those days.
That's awesome, man. And you've got Karate Kid Legends available now exclusively in theaters. Joshua Jackson here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk with all due respect about the Mighty Ducks real hockey first.
Copy that.
You are from Vancouver.
Yes.
Okay. So do you root for the Edmonton Oilers because they're from Canada? How do we feel about this right now?
These next 2 weeks I do. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that is a huge regional rivalry.
I'd imagine.
So I'm not generally an Oilers fan or a Flames fan for that matter. But for these next, it's been a pretty dry run here for Canada in the Stanley Cup, I think.
1993 was the last time.
Canadians, yeah. Yes. So we need one. And I got to say, just like Jersey getting its ass kicked by Southern California hurts.
Yes.
Canada getting its ass kicked by Southern Florida in hockey does not feel good.
Does not compute.
Does not feel good. It's a major existential crisis for
us. Despite them having, a Kachuk, you can at least respect that,
we
right?
Do that,
I mean,
we do that. Well, it's not really a Southern Florida team. Look at all our guys. But still, like, the Florida Panthers, God bless them, but we need one.
Connor McDavid, when you watch him play, is he the best you've, I don't know, where?
I'm old enough to remember Gretzky.
Okay.
So that 80s Oiler team, like Gretzky, Messier, Curry,
Grant Fuhr.
Yeah. I'm forgetting the back line. You had one of the Sutter brothers. Mm-hmm. Paul Coffey. Yeah. Like, that's probably the greatest hockey team that I'll ever see assembled.
Right.
But Connor McDavid is, in the modern body, right? Because that's the other thing. I mean, these were hockey players in the 80s. It was
right.
A different kind of athlete than a hockey player right now. And it's incredible what he's, even that goal last night, right? I mean, they kind of bottled him up all night long, and you could see the tide turn for like the 2 or 3 minutes of ice time before they set that up.
Because
the Panthers were on him at the top of that OT. And you just felt it. You're like, oh, they're going to break out. And as soon as he got that puck off the wing, you're like, that game's over.
Yeah, it's a wrap. And yeah. I mean, and obviously we talk about who scores the goal, but you gotta take a look at
it. The beautiful thing about hockey, right? Like,
right.
It truly is a whole team sport, right? Because you have a pinching defenseman, but you've also got the best player on the planet making the perfect saucer pass. But it also took the other pinching defenseman to come down and like dig that puck out.
Yeah, I took my son, he's currently 14. I took my youngest son when he was 12, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, could be an 11, to a Kings Oilers game.
Yeah.
Okay.
And playoff or?
No, regular season. And he says, which one's McDavid? And I said to him, how about you tell me?
Right. You'll figure it
out
quickly.
You just look at the ice and you've never been to a hockey game
That's
before.
That's awesome.
I just said, you tell me which one you think he is. And it was about 2 minutes of ice time.
Right.
And he could tell.
Yeah.
Because even somebody new to watching it in person or watching it very much at all, you could tell the difference.
When I used to play hockey when I was a kid, my coach said at one point, this is kind of like a Miyagi-ism, he's like, there are players that skate against the ice and players that skate with the ice.
Ooh.
And Connor McDavid is one of those guys that skates with the ice. It's so seemingly effortless, mm-hmm. but he's always in the right place. He has perfect vision of the ice at all times. And it just looks like the game comes to him always.
Does it kill you to talk about an Oiler this way? Or he transcends?
He's transcended. Okay. Yeah, he has transcended.
So what was this line from your hockey coach?
He said, there are players that skate against the ice mm-hmm. and there are players that skate with the ice.
Which one were you in the Mighty Ducks?
I was definitely against the ice. Everything was struggle.
Okay, let's dive into this. How old were you when you were in the Mighty Ducks?
First Mighty Ducks was 13, second one was 15, and third one was 17.
Damn.
Yeah.
What was that like for you, brother?
I mean, as you can imagine at 13, I had no idea. I had no idea about anything, really. But
right.
They take us to Minneapolis. They put us in like 4 or 6 weeks of hockey camp. So my introduction to being in movies is you get to go to hockey camp, which was awesome.
You're in.
And then you basically just hang out with 15, 13 to 14 year olds for mm-hmm. 3 months making a movie. It was amazing.
So,
it's just an incredible experience.
So you learned how to be on a movie set for the first time, or
was Emilio.
Okay.
God bless him. Like, I think, I don't know if it was my actual first day, but let's say it was my first day.
Why not?
I had literally no idea what I was doing, right? So I was nervous and trying to be a good kid. Oh my God, yeah, that little girl right there. I learned all of the dialogue, mine and his. We're sitting around a table. And I guess when he was speaking to like keep myself on track, I was mouthing his words on the other side. And we get a couple takes in, he's like, hey, kid. Don't do that. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you don't need to say my words. I'll do that part. You say your words. And I was like, oh, okay, that's a good tip. Pro tip. Like, I love that one.
No,
and he was amazing for me, for all of us. Like, he took that responsibility of being the adult, because there was a couple of us, I guess, who had worked a little bit, but none of us knew what we were doing. And he just kind of held our hand through the whole process.
The real coach.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. He kept on doing this, right? And from the first to the the first movie comes out, there's success around this. And then, you know, we were making the second movie and we're shooting is just before the Anaheim team, the professional team, started up. We had this one day where they filled the pond with actual human beings and we played hockey in front of 16,000 people.
No.
One of the coolest things I've ever done to this day. And the full ceremony, like Melissa Etheridge, I think, sang the opening, that she sang the anthem, and then you come out and you do your introductions, and then you come out and you play a full game in front of an entirely filled arena. It was awesome.
Did you score?
I did score. So in the way, for anybody who remembers the second Ducks movie, my character was actually hurt and had given up his spot. So I was wearing a different jersey number. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't playing as Conway. I can't remember. I mean, it was Averman or somebody. But anyway, I was a different player on the ice. And at that point, I was a decent player. So I was...
You improved.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I was skating more with the ice at that point. But at one point, I come off the ice, and there's all these people and a lot of kids, right? Yeah. And I just scoot down the tunnel to go to the dressing room, and Emilio immediately snatches me up, and he's like, don't ever do that again. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, everybody in here is the reason you have a job. Do not ever just walk past the people who give you your job. It takes you 5 seconds. Just, like, be a decent person.
Huh.
Another good lesson learned.
No kidding.
Wow. Yeah.
All right. So did you ever... while shooting the movie, make some athletic move and score that you weren't supposed to do, and you had to do it again or something like that?
I mean, I did the triple deke with a separated shoulder, so that's probably the most, like,
damn,
like hockey thing that I did. But I did score on a semi-professional, like a high-level college kid who was several years older than me. I scored on a slap shot from the point. This is what, 30 years ago now, I still remember this shot. I'm so proud of myself.
Did it make the movie?
No, it didn't make the movie.
Oh.
No, but I know, and he knows, wherever he is.
Joshua Jackson here on the Rich Eisen Show. I mean, there's so many things that you've done I can ask you about, but I got to go with this one. The scene in Ocean's 11.
Yes.
Where you're playing yourself.
Yeah.
And you're playing poker, and Brad Pitt's character is teaching you how to draw out the bluff.
Yeah.
Right? And Clooney is sitting there. And
yeah,
this is an important, you know, scene in the film.
Moment in the movie.
But
yeah,
you're playing yourself. How did take me behind the scenes of this scene?
I mean, Joshua, again, I've had this wonderful life where there's just, I find myself in these crazy places sometimes. So yeah, so I'm doing, like, I don't know how old I was, 23 or 24 years old, and I'm sitting at a poker table, and it's not just Clooney and it's not just Pitt, but Steven Soderbergh is our director,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I'm in this moment with these two, like, mega guys, just seeing if you can hang. So for me, the meta point of that scene right there is like, huh, I wonder if I can actually be on camera with these guys and, like, not disappear into the woodwork.
Because you're Dawson Creek's Joshua Jackson,
yeah,
in this scene.
I'm just some
scene
schmuck off the...
No.
Well, but let's
but
be
you're
real.
One, like, of young Hollywood
Clooney
people.
Clooney is still that... Clooney, and Pitt is still,
oh,
Pitt,
sure,
at this point, right?
Okay,
so it's not...
Course.
So, like, there are levels to the game, and I'm not at that level.
Okay.
And we get in there, and the first scene of the day was with... First scene of the day was with Pitt only, and then it was Pitt and Clooney for the second scene of the day. And the single coolest movie star thing I have ever seen, still to this day, we're off in the wings in between shots at one point, and I sort of, like, weasel my way into a conversation between Clooney, Pitt, director, producer, a couple other people, and I'm just, like, hanging out. And Clooney is in the middle of telling everybody the story. There's 12, this is how I got into the conversation. There's 12 Indian motorcycles just sitting in a spot on the soundstage, and I'm like, kind of a gearhead. So I was like, what's this? And he's like, oh, well, these are gifts from my friends. Because you do this stuff when you're a movie star. But they have to go to Italy to get them. So I'm having all of these bikes shipped to Italy. So he's in the midst of telling this story. And a PA, so for people who don't know, a production assistant, mm-hmm, it's the lowest man or woman on the totem pole, comes up essentially to ask everybody if they need anything, right? Hey, you want a cup of coffee? Can I get you a snack? And she goes through, blah, 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 Brad Pitt. She gets to Clooney. Now, they've been working together for, like, 80 days, right? Mm-hmm. This is a known person. Can I get Mr. Pitt? Can I get you a cup of coffee? Young schmuck, can I get you a cup of coffee? Mr. Clooney. And as she's saying the words, she literally swoons. Like the brain just short circuits and she swoons. In the middle of telling the story, these guys got to go to Italy. He catches her, doesn't break his sentence, says, no, that's okay, babe, I got it. Puts her back on her feet and goes immediately back into his story. Which I took to mean, wow, so many people swoon in this man's presence. He doesn't even break stride. Didn't even pause. It didn't even dawn on him what it just was. He's like, no, I got you. It's okay. Anyway, so we're going to go to, I couldn't believe it. And if it was a setup, then bully for him, because that's the best setup. I've been telling this story for 25 years. It was incredible. It was incredible. He was so incredibly unfazed that I was messed up. I couldn't believe it.
That's amazing.
Yes.
I love stories like that. What a backstory. And I just love that scene. It's just such a fun scene of the film.
I mean, I can go into the nitty-gritty details of
Please.
It. So we're shooting this. We were on like day, let's say, 89 and 90. Mm-hmm. So we're right towards the tail end of them shooting. And I didn't know this at the time, but Steven Soderbergh is not only his own director, he's his own director of photography and his own cameraman.
Does everything.
So he's just bouncing around and he's, it's poker table, so it's circle. And in the normal course of business, you'd have to move all the lights around every time he moves. But all day he's just bouncing, nothing moves. And at a certain point, he sees something and he's like, whisper. Somebody runs away, they come back with a binder. He puts the binder on the poker table, opens it up, flip, finds the location that we're at, looks, and he goes, what's that shadow doing on the wall over there? Because he's memorized his entire lighting schematic.
Unbelievable.
So that there are no unsupported lights anywhere in the room so that he never has to move a light, so he can just capture whatever he wants as he goes around. And then one of the other guys at the table asks him, hey, we're on day 89, when are you gonna have your cut of the movie done? Which is kind of an impertinent question, but whatever. And he thinks about it. We're on like a Thursday, going to shoot a Friday. He's like, well, probably take the weekend. Yeah, I'll probably have my cut done on Tuesday, which for anybody who works in the industry knows is an insane thing to say. There's usually at least 6 weeks before even the roughest of rough cut.
Yeah.
He sends to his editor a list of the shots that he's about to do and how he would like them cut together.
Unreal.
Before he shoots them. And then the editor puts his preferred take and the director's prefer, and they just, so they're only ever 2 days behind. So he has the whole movie mapped out in his head and cut as he's doing it. It's the craziest thing I've ever been.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so it makes it easier for you as an actor to do this stuff, do you think?
Because what he said when we were there at a certain point, all of us who were not Brad Pitt and George Clooney were pretty nervous that day. And at a certain point, we go through the dialogue and we're like two or three takes in. He's like, okay, now just play poker. Now just play. He's like, I built you the sandbox. You can't do anything wrong in here. Mm-hmm. So just play. And if I like it, I keep it. And if I don't, I don't. Just go.
Yeah.
It was the most liberating. He's so prepared, right? And he's planned for everything that you can do in the sandbox.
Yes.
So you have total freedom inside of that.
So you're not folding your hand against
Clooney. No,
we against were, Clooney. No,
pedal to the metal.
That's what I love about that scene. Because, Clooney has his movie star moment,
Yep.
Four nines with an ace. It's a pretty good kicker.
Ace in the hole. Pretty good.
Pretty good kicker. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I love that sort of stuff. Karate Kid's legend in theaters near you right now, released just last week. Like I said, I'm thrilled to have you here. You're a Niner fan before I let you go?
I am.
Okay.
So the Canuck part of my life is pretty painful, but the Niner part has been pretty good for these last several years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's so funny because TJ was, always so accommodating when we have a guest here. He put the mug there. For you to drink
until
your
the moment
water.
He found out that was
and
a Niners.
I said to him, "You're Niners, right?" And he says, "Oh," and he goes, "Oop," and he took the mug away, and you guessed immediately which team he's a fan of.
It's because you're still upset that we loaned you Dion.
Loaned? I mean, that was he was coming to us.
That is some old school grudges right there. Yeah. I am impressed, sir.
Look, I'm still holding a grudge against the great Dwight Clark for catching that touchdown.
You mean
years
the greatest
ago.
Play so, in football history?
Unfortunately, it probably is, and the fact that I've got to see it so much just adds to my anger.
I love that it has become part. It's like it is the go-to NFL films clip for this is an amazing play. and makes me happy every time. Because with the Canucks part of my life, you only ever see the Canucks clipped into NHL clips when something bad happens. So I'm happy that one side of my fandom is actually supportive.
There you go.
And it comes at my expense. Thanks, Sean.
Which I'm also okay with.
You know,
no love lost. You know,
we do here, if you would oblige, on the program. The schedule comes out, and we have certainly a celebrity guest like yourself, play the win-loss game.
We're going to do over-under for the Niners next year?
You just tell me if you think this game's going to wind up a win or a loss.
Okay.
And if you are, trust me, if you are spot on and you get it right, we will keep talking about, hey, Joshua Jackson saw it. And if you're off, this never happened.
Okay, I love that.
This is my promise to you.
Okay,
well, I can't promise that if the Niners.
No. Back off. Here we go. We got the music. Joshua Jackson.
Okay, here we go.
San Francisco 49er fan playing the win-loss game for the 2025 Niners at the Seahawks. What happens week one?
That's a win.
All right. At the Saints week two.
That's a win.
Home for the Cardinals week three.
That's a win.
We're 3-0 with the Jaguars coming in.
We know that's a win.
Oh, we know that's a boy. He just went lower register.
I know,
wow. Normally higher register, we say that you got to go higher register to believe what you're saying. You went lower register, which means
at Seattle should be hard, but with the new QB, new everything, I don't see that.
4-0 at the Rams here in Los Angeles.
That's a loss.
All right, and it's a short week on a Thursday. 4-1 at the Buccaneers.
Man, they've played us tough the last couple of years. That's a loss.
All right, two losses in a row. 4-2 home for the Falcons.
That's a win.
All right, we're rebounding with a 5-2 record going into Houston at the Texans.
At Houston, D'Amico, that's a loss.
All right, 5-3 at the Giants. Wow!
So my brother, Lyman, is a massive Giants fan.
And
he knows that's a win.
6-3 home for the Rams.
That's a win.
7-3 at the Cardinals.
We always get funky with the Cardinals. That's a loss.
All right. 7-4 home for the Panthers on a Monday night.
That's a win.
8-4 at the Browns.
I'm a believer for the Browns next year. I think that's a loss.
All right. 8-5 coming out of the bye home for the Titans.
That's a win.
9-5 at the Colts on a Monday night.
Who is even the Colts QB
next
year?
I think it's going to be Daniel Jones at this point.
That's a win.
Wow. 10-5 home for the Bears on a Sunday night.
The Bears.
I'm going to say that's a loss.
All right. 10-6 home for the Seahawks.
They're packing it in for the season. That's a win.
11-6. Joshua Jackson.
I like that.
That's a big rebound year.
I like that.
But you know, last season.
Yes, sir.
It was the defense. Everybody put all that on Brock Purdy, but it was the defense. We couldn't hold leads.
True
story. I know we had a huge amount of turnover on the defense, but we actually needed to do that.
Hey, man. No McCaffrey, no Brandon Ayuk.
And that's not
it's Trent Williams at times. Come
that
on.
That is not a platinum schedule we have to work our way through.
No. Okay. Yeah. 11-6. That's
11-6.
A very fair assessment. Good luck to Canada.
Thank you.
And everybody go see. I never say that to a guest here. Karate Kid Legends, available now exclusively in theaters. Go check it out with Joshua Jackson and a terrific cast. Come back anytime, brother.
Thank you for having me.
You got it. Joshua Jackson here on the Rich Eisen Show.
When we're winning the NFC next year, I'll come back and defend my...
Hopefully beforehand.
Okay.
Beforehand. Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions. So it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available class executive advanced safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal, check for traffic, and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. With rising housing prices and steeper mortgage rates, we know home ownership may seem too expensive to be achievable. But that's why we offer a home buyer's choice loan that can open the door to affordable home ownership. Our home buyer's choice loan has no down payment options available, which means you don't need to wait years to save money. And with our no refi rate drop, you may be able to lower your rate in the future without refinancing. Plus, while most lenders require borrowers to purchase private mortgage insurance unless they can make a 20% down payment, we don't require PMI. Finally, we offer fixed payments, so your monthly payment will always be the same. So if you're looking for your first home or your next home, you can open the door with a Navy Federal Home Buyer's Choice Loan. Visit NavyFederal.org to learn how you can achieve home ownership. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing lender. Loan subject to approval and eligibility requirements. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. So how often were you asked to try and revisit Karate Kid?
A decent amount of times over the past 30 years. You know, and I was very protective always of that character and that franchise, and I just it was always felt smarter to not try to go back to the well and come up empty than taint the legacy of what has become a piece of pop culture, what has become a piece of our childhoods. You know, John Hurwitz, Hayden Schlossberg, and Josh Heel, the three creators of Cobra Kai, had such a clear vision of coming in through the Johnny Lawrence, the world of Johnny Lawrence, and whatever happened to this bully and dealing with that and where LaRusso would be at this time. And they had written a Hot Tub Time Machine and the Harold and Kumar franchise. So I felt that they really had a handle on writing for a younger audience and creating a fresh world and yet still pay homage to the nostalgia. It was just the right time. And then you have these services like a YouTube Premium where you could essentially make a 5-hour movie and cut it up into 10 half-hour parts.
And again, the pilot, the first episode where you're 34 years later running a car dealership.
Right, LaRusso Auto Body.
Right, and and Billy Zabka
right.
is showing up kind of down on his luck
right.
in a way.
Right.
Has been seen almost 40 million times.
Yeah.
That's an absurd number,
Ralph. It's insane. It's wonderful. We always felt that these characters in this franchise had that sort of the ability for that kind of embrace, but to see everyone tell their friends, you have to see this, you have to see this. And then the critics as well. It's really, it doesn't happen very often. And it really tastes sweeter the older you get when you see something like this happen. Now it's awesome.
We had Elizabeth Shue on the show a few, months ago, and she just remembered being there and just how you were just young kids on a movie,
right.
kind of not knowing what you were, But just having like a great time
yeah.
while doing it. Yeah, yeah. No idea at the time.
No, I did know this. I did feel that there was such an ease with working with Pat Morita that I did feel when I was making the film that we had something special, something unique. There was, it just felt like the two right guys in those roles. It was just, I guess it was because it felt easy to do. Mm-hmm. I assumed it was coming off well. As far as whether, wax on, wax off, and sweep the leg would be part of the American lexicon decades later. Right.
It's
crazy.
It still is.
And now more than ever. So it's really quite wonderful.
Ralph Macchio and his many appearances on the program, including that first one ever, 7 years ago, available on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, where you can also see some select clips of Women's Sports Now, the latest edition of which is available right here on the Roku platform. We're always thrilled to tell you about that. The latest episode available once you are free to start watching it. Obviously, 10 minutes from now.
Right. Just wait till this is over.
We have a stirring conclusion of this program.
Do we?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know if we do. You'll tell me once we finish.
Oh, great.
If it was stirring to you or not. And I'm the only guy that doesn't have my Family Feud thing up here.
Yeah, what are you doing, Rich?
I don't know. Jeff in Detroit, final word. Jeffrey. What's up, Jeffrey? How are you, sir?
What's going on, cousins? Listen here. Number one,
Number one, your wife stepping in. I tell you, I have the biggest crush on Susie. She's pretty, she knows sports, and she's funny. I mean, it even rubbed off on Chris Brockman. He has Sarah, and she's the same way with, you know, the Sports Woman show. You know, it's just wonderful.
Thank you,
question
Jeff.
Going out the door, fellas, who do you got for Rookie of the Year? Travis Hunter, Cam Ward, or the field?
Travis Hunter.
Travis Hunter.
I mean, for Offensive Rookie of the Year you're talking about?
Yes.
You know how I feel about this. You know how I feel about it.
You don't know what he's going to be playing.
It's a quarterback award. I understand.
It's Cam or Ashton Jeutte.
Ashton Jeutte. So you're taking the field.
Yeah, I'll take the field. Well, he has Cam Ward on there.
He said Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, or the field.
And the kid is from Penn State.
Tyler Warren.
Abdul Carter.
Abdul Carter.
That's defensive.
I mean, Omarion Hampton's in there.
Okay. You're taking the field.
I would take the field. Yeah.
You're taking the field?
Yeah.
I can tell you who I'm taking.
Who is it?
Tyler Booker.
Okay.
Dallas Cowboys guard. Let's go.
This guy. Thank you, Jeff.
And you wonder why you get trolled.
Bless you, Jeff. You're Susie's favorite person in Detroit.
If Tyler Booker wins Rookie of the Year, I'll get his face tattooed on my body.
Oh, baby. Yeah. Let's go.
One of my favorites, the squirrel.
Hold on a second. What if he's protector of the year? No.
Does that count? Can I get love for that?
Is there a protector rookie? Are they doing a rookie protector?
No.
It don't matter who wins.
I think it's everybody's just in the mix.
Yeah.
He's a guard. He's a guard, right?
He's a guard.
He's eligible for that.
He's a guard today. They might move him to tackle because he's so dominant.
A guard isn't winning Protector of the Year.
How do we know?
You don't know. No one's ever won Protector of the Year. There's no precedent.
Tyler, and there's precedence of Tyler's on the offensive line in Dallas.
Look, guys, it's a shot in the dark, I realize, but you never
know. Good luck to you, TJ.
Okay.
Thank you, bro.
And Jeff in Detroit is automatically Susie's favorite person from Detroit. And she doesn't know anyone from Detroit, so he's the clubhouse leader.
Axel Foley. I
shouldn't say such things. I should never talk blanket statements about Susie.
Yeah, she knows everybody from everywhere.
Tommy P. Tom Pelissero will be on tomorrow's program. Shaquille O'Neal will help us break down game one of the NBA Finals tonight. We're back to wrap up this show on the Roku channel shortly.
The United States Soccer Federation presents the U.S. Soccer Podcast.
Inside the opening 45 seconds. What a goal!
With that cannon of a left foot.
All even at one.
Never miss a game.
What a start for the United States.
Shot for distance. What a goal!
Never miss a moment.
Exquisite from the San Diegan.
Can he finish? Yes, he can!
Yeah! The U.S. Soccer Podcast. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.